Item D under reports is the 2020 budget presentation. So, Daniel, back to you, sir.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. As in the last several years, at the conclusion of this presentation, the preliminary budget is going to be posted on the city's website. Christina does that. I believe she'll probably post it tomorrow. It might be on Wednesday. After this presentation, then, it will be scheduled for a first reading during your meeting in August. I think it's August 19th. August 19th will be your first reading. But we do not anticipate really making any changes between now and then. And if we do on August 19th, we'll just point out the couple of minor areas where there are changes. To start going through some of the slides that we have here, very similar to the slides that you saw before with Faye, you can see that across the vast majority of our operating funds, our cash balances have been restored. They are at healthy levels. They're at, according to the Government Finance Officers Association's recommended cash reserve levels for operating funds, it is at 20% is the recommended minimum. We do meet that level in our general fund as well as our water fund, wastewater, sanitation. And given that we have been able to meet that, we are not necessarily in a need that we need to worry about continuing to increase those fund balances. With that being said, we're not trying to actually decrease them either. But as compared to 5-6 years ago when we're actually trying to build up our reserves, we're no longer at that point. Instead, we just want to be able to essentially kind of maintain it even. The second fund that is listed there, the liquor fund, you can see that in the past it had been negative. As of the end of June, it actually was positive. It is not excessively positive, but that is because we're actually transferring out, I think, $17,000 a month from the liquor fund into the general fund. And so our liquor store continues to be quite profitable and is doing quite well. The wastewater fund, you can see that that is the cash balance on that is incredibly high. That is going to start dwindling in about a year once we actually start paying for the wastewater treatment plant project. As the council is well aware, we do have financing for that, but there still is a portion that we're going to be paying for out of our own reserves, and so that's why we built it up. In addition to that, once it does become operational, we do anticipate that the costs are going to be slightly more than what we are receiving in each year. And we are hoping that our continued reserves will be able to fund that deficit until our growth makes up the difference. And we're thinking and projecting that hopefully our growth by about 2022 or 2023 will make it that that actually balances out. In our sanitation fund, that has gone back down some. The reason for that really has been the continued increase of our operating costs, mostly through the Belle Fouche tipping fees. Those increase 5% a year. There have been several years that we have not increased our utility rates for sanitation, or if we have, it's been at 2%, even though our costs are increasing closer to 5%. In addition, the changes we have made at our rubble site, as part of that, we are actually going to be making further changes at our rubble site, including having a scale so that we can truly be competitive with the weight of products that are going in. We hope to have that in later this year, but given how late it is already this year, that might unfortunately kind of fall into next year. And we purchased a garbage truck too, which took out a significant portion of what was in there. A quarter million, I think, is what they run. Oh, more than a quarter million. I forgot that. In addition, if you would move to the next slide, please. The next slide, and I think this is something that is very important for the community to understand. This is our, essentially, our credit rating, what would be equivalent to an individual's credit score. You can see in 08, we were actually rated a triple B1. Which is really on the low scale of investment grade. Once you get to non-investment grade, those are the junk bonds when usually companies or municipalities are teetering on the verge of insolvency. So we were not that close, but still we were not really sitting very well. If you look now, our latest rating from S&P was actually a AA negative. That's the equivalent of, I think, last time I looked, it was like 27 or 28 states or that high. So definitely we could go up some, but in order to go up some, it's going to be very challenging for us as a community, because what the credit rating agencies look at is how dependent we are on revenue that is not necessarily guaranteed. Now that we have done a very good job with monetizing and getting a profit from the rally, that's good for our taxpayers. But from a credit agency's standpoint, they're not really excited about that, because if there's a bad year at the rally, then $1.5 million of your general fund could go away. So it's very challenging for us to ever really rise higher than that point. Really, the only way for us to rise above that is if we really stockpile in our general fund $6, $7, $8 million worth of cash. And instead, what the city has been trying to do is to reduce the property tax, as well as increase the amount of infrastructure investments. But with that being said, we do have a very healthy credit scale at this point. In addition to that, that has saved us a significant amount of funds as we've gone out for bonds as well as loans for some of our infrastructure projects. Because our rating now is quite high, we have very, very low interest rates, especially if you compare it to other cities. Yes, and so if you look in 2008, Moody's rated us a BBB1. S&P rated us a AA negative in 2014, so that was an increase of four steps, which is quite substantial in that time period. Since then, we have not been reviewed since 2014. Given the size of our bond issuances, usually credit rating agencies won't look at us very often, simply because our bonds are quite small when you look at most municipal bonds that are available. So it doesn't necessarily make sense for them to review us regularly. If you look at our anticipated revenue in our general fund, which is our most important fund, that's about half of the city's total budget, you can see some of the significant strides that we have made as a community. From 2010 to 2020 now, you can see the amount of or the percentage of revenue that is coming into our general fund from property taxes has been reduced by 5%, so about 1/7. Again, that goes to show that our mill rate has really dropped substantially, which is a savings to all property owners in our community. In addition, what that goes to show is our economy has improved significantly, that now we have other sources that are really making up the difference and picking up some of that slack. Some of that is a rally. The sales tax has continued to be strong. In addition to that, our interest. Before, honestly, we made almost nothing off of interest. Now, the money we make from interest, our investments in CDs as well as in our TIF funds, that actually pays for almost half of our entire finance office. So if you look at something that before was truly funded entirely through property taxes, now half of it's paid for through interest alone. That's a significant savings to the taxpayer. In addition, you can look at cash on hand. We are reducing that. It's been reduced 25% compared to 2010. And in 2020, it's actually an abnormally large year that we are using cash on hand. The reason why is we have two projects that in 2020 we are going to be using some of our savings to fund, one of which is 20% of the anticipated cost to replace a roof at the law enforcement center. That's a building that's owned by the county, but the city uses 20% of the square footage in it, so 20% of the costs are paid for by the city. The roof needs to be replaced, and so that's an anticipated cost of $60,000. In addition to that, we do have a one-time cost of putting in some AV equipment into the new community room at the City Hall. And so that's, I believe, an extra $70,000, I think, that's in the budget for that equipment. And so those are two one-time costs. If you actually back that out of the use of cash on hand for just operations, truly cash on hand is about 1.5%. So you can see that the city is not really using a savings account anymore to operate the city, as opposed to in 2010, when truly the city was using money out of its reserves just to continue operations. I do want to point out, in addition, some of the assumptions that we made for revenue. One is that the utility rates would be increased by 3%. Again, that's really just keeping up with our inflationary cost increase. In sanitation, though, I do want to point out that really doesn't keep up with all of our costs that are increasing on sanitation. That does not include an increase, though, for surcharges or minimums. Those are not increased. That's solely going to be based off of the actual usage. In addition, our projected income from the rally is the same as what we actually received in income in 2018. So we were not aggressive. We didn't try to project a significant bump from the 80th rally. While we do hope that Lance and Jerry do a great job for us, we also didn't want to over-anticipate that sort of revenue. So our rally revenue is really equivalent to what it was in 2018. Sales tax, we did anticipate a 1.5% increase in 19 compared to 18, and then another 1.5% increase from 19 to 20. However, we did anticipate a $5 million total reduction in gross sales due to the closure of Shopko. So at this point, it's still too early to see how that shakes out and to see if that's correct or not. I will say we are actually trending higher for the year, far higher than we anticipated for, and especially higher considering the closure of Shopko. We hope that that continues, but at this point, we wanted to be fairly conservative for the 2020 budget. In addition, there are some other changes that you can note in the budget that are fairly substantial. The general fund contribution to the ambulance fund has increased. This year, we are contributing $15,000 directly to the ambulance. Next year, it is proposed to be a $110,000 increase. And I also want to note that in the budget, we anticipate an additional $60,000 being generated from property owners in the county. If that does not come to fruition, then there would have to be further budget cuts in the ambulance fund. That would likely come, number one, from extending out how often we actually have to replace ambulances, because there would be fewer miles traveled, as well as in the reduction of actual overtime expenses. That $110,000 is on top of what the general fund and the capital improvement fund already pays on an ongoing annual basis for the ambulance fund. And that's for the building as well as the administration of the ambulance. The last slide I have for you shows the city's continued commitment to reduce the mill levy. We are being far more conservative this year, really with concern about what our sales tax is going to be, as well as ambulance. And so, as well as the third major thing, which is the effects of the flooding. If you look, the flooding events that we had to replace our infrastructure, that's easily going to be $1.5 million or more to replace that. Thankfully, there has already been one presidential declaration, and we're hoping that the second July 4th flooding event will just be rolled into that other presidential declaration. In addition, they are looking at making that a separate one. But in either case, the city will still have to pay for some of those maintenance or some of those repairs out of its own funding. So given concerns that we do have with what the actual sales tax collections are going to be, the actual costs of the repairs from the flooding that we've experienced, as well as thirdly, the increased cost for ambulance, we did try to be a little more conservative. We are only anticipating reducing the mill levy by about 0.5%. It's not as high as what we've been doing in the past, but we do believe that it's prudent to make sure that we do have enough funding to really meet any of those challenges that we have. Hopefully, sales tax will continue to be strong, and the presidential declarations will mean that we do not have a substantial bill from making repairs. And if that's the case, then come in 2021, we can go back on track of reducing the mill levy even further. Are there any questions?
Thanks, Daniel. No action needed from council at this point. Like Daniel said, first reading will be in the only meeting in August on the 19th. Brings us to other matters before council. Council have anything to add at this point that was not on the agenda? Bonnie, you had something. Come on up.
I'm wondering where we are with Iron Horse and the request to close the alley, and you said we're not doing it this year. Did we decline that, or did they withdraw their request, or?
Yeah.
So are they fortifying their defenses to run it again next year?
I'm guessing the chief is probably going to keep a close eye on the alley this year, see if he still recommends that the alley actually be closed for safety purposes.
And I mean, to add to that, you know, let's not forget that the impetus for everything was were the noise complaints from last year. That was also kind of a catalyst for us to look at Iron Horse and what could be done differently. So it was the alley traffic and noise complaints.
So rather than bite the bullet, we need to speak up. While it's happening, after it's happened, after the rally. I mean, those kinds of things, you know, you're trying to be a good sport and you know the PD's busy enough as it is, so you don't dial the phone to say, you know, geez, this is going on. But, you know, how do we document and establish our defense to that if we, the citizens of Sturgis, are opposed to that?
Well, I think that, you know, you can write stuff down. But I think it'll be interesting to see if we receive more noise complaints from that. You know, and again, it was that business coming to the city saying, we're trying to help the residents in that area with what they, you know, see as an issue. And then somehow it turned into people not wanting the alley to be closed.
Well, and understand.
And the main focus being on the closure of the alley.
Which I think we see is just making it possible for it to be bigger and louder.
Well, they were wanting to see if the noise could be mitigated this year by trying a different, you know, moving the stage. But since that didn't happen, no one will know.
Well, and understand that it's not just the people in that neighborhood. I can pick out that concert at my house on 4th Street.
Right.
So it's not just that localized neighborhood.
Right. And I would say it's not just that business that has noise issues.
Oh,
because
yeah.
I can hear things from the west side of Main Street, concerts down there, and I live on Shepherd.
And I can as well.
Right.
But what I'm saying is I can sort out what I'm hearing and what's offensive. I mean, you know, I can tell which is which. So I just kind of want to, you know, I just don't think these things ought to come up from scratch and we have to start over every time in our view of what we want to see happen in our town. So if it's going to come up again, then we need to be more proactive, get what we want.
I mean, you know, everyone has an opinion, and I think, you know, the opportunity to express that. And, you know, I, for one, welcome people.
But that's what I'm asking is, when does that need to be expressed? But why didn't you say something when it was happening?
Well, I mean, no, you know, for the most part, I would consider you a very engaged citizen. You know, the agendas are posted online. I want to say that this was a discussion that started last October. I mean, it was in the fall when we started discussing these things. So, you know, I think the city does a good job in getting information out, usually. I don't see an issue. And so,
and I think we could do a better job of getting.
Yes, but there's also a fine line between holding people's hands and, you know.
Well,
but you're an engaged person.
You might have to hold somebody's hand to get what we want because people don't know how to play this game. They really don't. And so I just want to know how you want to hear it when it's time to hear it, because I've had those circumstances wherein I didn't say anything at the time because it wasn't appropriate to muddy the water. And then when you come up later and say, but, it's like, well, you didn't say anything at the time. Must not have been that bad. So I just want to know how you want to hear it and if it's going to come up again. The other thing I wanted to ask was about the wastewater money that we're paying in now, does all of that go into the wastewater?
The surcharge, yes. 1761, 100% goes into the wastewater.
Okay, and it doesn't go anywhere else. It's just hanging out there waiting for those charges to start.
Yep.
Okay, that was a nice little piece in here where you said where we anticipate that to start at this time or that time. Because I kind of, you know, that gets lost in the translations of what's going to happen when. Okay. And then may have lost my other question. Can't spot it, so I'll let that go. But appreciate that you're anticipating the absence of Shopko. Are we participating in any way? What's it looking like for the Shopko zone? Do we have nibblers? Are we putting out invites? Do we have other ideas for the usage of that?
Yes, we work with SEDC very closely on that, and that's really one of our top priorities. Unfortunately, typical of kind of all retailing right now, bricks and mortars are not expanding. Mm-hmm. In fact, they're shrinking. And if you look at the International Council of Shopping Centers and the number of retailers that were at their most recent event compared to what it was 10 years ago, 10 years ago there would be 300 to 500 retailers there. This year there were 60 retailers that were looking at expanding. And the vast majority of them were car washes or food. Now, with that being said, we have reached out to, we've reached out to dozens, but that we've actually been in some negotiations with. There's three that we've talked fairly closely with. Now, with that being said, I think one is a very strong possibility, but I mean, I'll tell you that they've looked at ours along with several other Shopkos. And they've said that they would rather wait a year and a half to 2 years to wait for the price to come down before they decide to move in, which is not what we want to have happen, but that's
what we each would do, too, if we were in the same spot.
It's the exact same thing. And the reality is a 30,000-square-foot retail building really is far too large for the majority of retailers that are expanding and far too small for the really large big-box stores that are expanding. To put that in perspective, Walmart last year opened up 6 Walmarts in America. So it's
slowed down.
It's slowed down compared to years ago. Yeah. I mean, Walmart used to open hundreds in a year, and now 6. So.
Well, you reached saturation.
Well, I don't know if it reached saturation as much as retailing has really changed in America. I mean, the amount of purchases that are being done online has greatly changed the calculus for retailers.
Oh, I understand. I see it happening. So. But Walmart's playing their hand on that one. I mean, they're rising to that quite nicely. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Bonnie. Any other matters from the public? No requests for further executive session. So is there a motion to adjourn? First by Rhea. Second by Terry. All those in favor to adjourn, please indicate by stating yes.
Yes.
We're adjourned.